So I just want to begin with a scripture concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's an interesting scripture, and you'll see why in a moment. But this scripture I'm going to read two scriptures that describe the experience of Jesus when he died on the cross. And so this is our first scripture, and it says this. It says, "My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. Thank you. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing." Then I want us to look at the next scripture. I'll tell you where these scriptures come from in just a moment. But this scripture, and some of you are very familiar with this, says, "But he, Jesus, was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. Jesus was whipped so we could be healed. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave." Those two passages that I just read to us all this morning, and for those online as well, those two passages accurately describe what happened to Jesus when he suffered at the hands of the Romans. However, this is the interesting part, is that these passages of Scripture were written centuries before Jesus actually stepped into the world. The first passage was written by King David 1,000 years ago. Psalm 22, verses 16 to 18. 1,000 years before it actually happened, King David prophesied what would happen to Jesus Christ. The second passage was written by the prophet Isaiah 600 years before Jesus came. There are many such prophecies and many such illustrations packed within the Old Testament of the Bible that point to the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what that means is this. It means that the death of Jesus Christ was not an unfortunate accident. The awful death of Jesus did not catch God by surprise. The death of Jesus was prophesied that it would happen, and it did. The ancient prophet Isaiah takes this even further when he said this in Isaiah 53 verse 10. He said, "It was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. It was the Lord's good plan to crush Jesus and cause him grief." Almighty God planned for Jesus Christ to come into the world and die in our place to break the curse of sin that is destroying all of us. Jesus Christ died because of us. For the scriptures say this, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ." Galatians 3 verse 13 says this, "When Jesus was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing, for it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." And John 3, 16 and 17 says this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. The death and resurrection of Jesus. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. The death and resurrection of Jesus is not some irrelevant minor historic event. Jesus Christ was not an unfortunate martyr. Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Savior of those who put their trust in him. and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event in all of human history. Now, out the front of Real Life Church on the Lissaman Street side, we've got a 7-meter-high cross. Has anybody noticed it? And it lights up at night. How about that? We know that lots of churches have crosses, and lots of people, maybe you are one of these people where you're wearing a cross around your neck, and that's great, that's fine. But we sometimes forget how awful the cross of Jesus Christ actually was. The cross was not pretty. The cross was a brutal instrument of death and humiliation. The Romans used crucifixion to execute and humiliate their enemies. But the Romans did not use crucifixion to execute their own people, because it was such an abhorrent way to destroy a human life. And Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he was rejected by his own people. He was treated like a criminal. He was beaten and he was flogged and he was mocked. And then Jesus Christ was finally nailed to a Roman cross. And he was placed between two wicked men, two criminals who were also crucified with him. Jesus Christ was crucified at 9 o'clock or thereabouts, 9 o'clock on a Friday morning. We started our service today at 9 o'clock. Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock on a Friday morning. He died 6 hours later at around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Those 6 hours of the suffering of Jesus Christ are the most significant 6 hours in all of human history. And over those 6 hours, as Jesus Christ hung on the cross between heaven and earth, Jesus spoke 7 statements to the people around the cross. The first statement that Jesus made on the cross was this: Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And while he was actually saying those words, his executioners were ignoring him and they were gambling for his clothes. They showed no sorrow, they showed no remorse. And Jesus is still saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And that first statement of Jesus on the cross was a profound statement. It was a profoundly loaded statement. You see, Jesus was not only praying for his executioners, he was not only just praying forgiveness for the people who had hurt him and rejected him, but that prayer, Father, forgive them, was a prophetic prayer for people of all nations and of all generations, including us here today. The whole point of Christ's death on the cross was to bring forgiveness and reconciliation between God and people. And that prayer of forgiveness is for you. It's for you today. As Jesus hung on the cross and saw down through the centuries to us here in Gosnells, that prayer of forgiveness is for you today. You can receive forgiveness for your sins and become a friend of God today. Today. The two criminals that were crucified with Jesus took their fear and anger out upon him by mocking him, along with some of the other people who were watching the crucifixion. But as these two criminals started to weaken, and as they struggled to breathe, and that's what the cross would do to the men, made it very difficult for them to breathe. One of them had a change of heart. And this fellow sufferer said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Would you remember me? And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the second statement that Jesus made from the cross. That criminal who asked him to remember him, he was a really bad man. He deserved to be executed. He was a bad man. And out of his own suffering, he'd even just mocked Jesus an hour or two earlier. This criminal had done nothing right to make himself worthy of heaven. He should have gone to hell. But when he reached out to Jesus, something happened for that man. Jesus promised him paradise instead of hell. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the gospel is all about. That's what the good news of Jesus is all about. The good news of Jesus is about mercy and it's about grace. But grace and mercy came at a cost. And Jesus paid the price during those 6 hours on the cross so we could receive mercy and grace today. We've all done bad things, everybody. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one person in this room is perfect. Many of us have got skeletons in the closet that we'd be just horrified if our friends found out what we've done in the past. We've all done bad things. None of us have done anything worthy of heaven. We deserve hell. But there is a way to eternal life, and that is through the mercy and grace of God that Jesus offers us today. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage people who are on social media right now. I want to encourage you. Why don't you be like the criminal? And why don't you pray, Jesus, remember me, and you will receive salvation today. The third statement that Jesus said from the cross was to his mother and to one of his disciples. Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the Bible says, the disciple took her into his own home. Here, Jesus Christ, it's his third statement on the cross as he's suffering. Here, Jesus Christ is expressing his love and his concern for his own mother Mary. Jesus has got the weight of the whole world on his shoulders, but he still remembers his mum. That is just so typical of Jesus Christ. You know, over the years, I've prayed for a lot of people, as you would expect, and every now and then, there's a recurring thing that people often say to me. And, you know, as I pray with people, people then have said, "Well, you know, I hope God answers your prayer, but God's probably got more important things to do than to help me." So many people have said that to me before. Or sometimes people say, "Oh, God's got more important people than me to look after. Maybe God's better using his energy to help them than to help me." Well, it's true that God has lots of important things to do, but God considers you to be one of those important people that he loves to care for. You're important to him. Jesus came for the whole world, but he also came for the one. He came for the whole world. He came for the one. He came for you. And he remembers you. That's what the gospel is all about. From about midday until 3 p.m., the Bible says a darkness came over the land. The light of the sun was gone. And then as the time drew nearer for Jesus to die and as the darkness closed in around him, Jesus cried out his fourth statement. "Eli, Eli, sabachthani," that is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His first prayer was, "Father, forgive them, Father." Now he's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that shout of anguish from the mouth of Jesus Christ are the exact opening words of Psalm 22 that was prophesied 1,000 years earlier. Never before in all of past eternity had Jesus Christ felt separated from the Father. But now on the cross, he felt it. And this moment on the cross, brothers and sisters, surrounded by darkness, was the historic point in history where God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God. That point, as he's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the historic point where Jesus took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the historic point where the wrath of God intended for you and for me, where the wrath of God was poured out upon Christ Jesus for our sin and our rebellion. Jesus Christ, your substitute in pain and anguish, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said that so that you would never have to shout those words yourself when you slip from this life into eternity. He said it for you. Then as the darkness started to go, and Jesus knew now that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill all scripture, Jesus uttered his fifth statement from the cross. And he said, I am thirsty. A soldier then soaked a sponge in sour wine and lifted up to his lips. Sour wine was just a common drink, and it was supposed to be more, it was better than water at quenching a person's thirst. But I suspect that Jesus was talking about a deeper thirst when he said, I thirst. His was a thirst once again for his heavenly Father. May you and I have a thirst for our heavenly Father also. Jesus tasted the sour wine, and then with all of his strength, Jesus shouted his sixth statement. And he said this, it is finished. I actually think I could shout that a lot louder without a microphone, right? Okay, you ready? It is finished! And that's how Jesus shouted it. Just as a side issue, it's actually very unusual for a man on the cross who was about to die to be able to shout. They'd lost their voice and weren't capable of shouting. Jesus died strongly and he shouted, it is finished. This was a shout of victory. The debt has been paid. Heaven celebrated and hell shook with fear. Amen. And the book of Luke says that the curtain in the temple was torn straight down the middle from top to bottom, and sin, Satan, and the curse upon humanity was defeated at the cross. It is finished. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, because it is finished. You can be saved today. And then Jesus Christ made his seventh statement from the cross. And again, calling out with a loud voice, Jesus said, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with that final statement, Jesus Christ breathed his last. And that concluded the most important 6 hours in all of history. Amen. We're going to receive communion in just a moment. But before we receive communion, everybody, I'm compelled to ask you if you've ever responded to the mercy that Jesus Christ offers you today. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If you put your faith in Jesus today, including people online, if you put your faith in Jesus today, you will not go to a lost eternity. You will not perish, but you will have the gift of eternal life. The Bible also says this about Jesus, or Jesus says this to us, sorry, in Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." And everybody in this room, I don't know where you are with God today. I don't know if you've ever responded to the mercy of God. I don't know if you're full on for Jesus. I don't know if you're backslidden. All I do know is that this Good Friday, Jesus Christ is knocking on the door of people's hearts today. Maybe he's knocking on your heart today, backslider. Come back to Jesus. Or maybe you've never responded at all and he's knocking, knocking, knocking for you. He's waiting for you to invite him into your life. He's waiting for you to allow him to come and forgive your sins and rescue you from eternal destruction. Will you be like the criminal today? Will you repent? But will you be like that criminal on the cross who reached out to Jesus and said, "Remember me"? I'd love to pray with you. This is such an important moment for you and for people online. So can we just bow our heads for a moment? And this is a special moment, a holy moment. And as everybody's praying right now, I want to ask you, are you right with God? And if not, would you get right with God today? Will you respond to Jesus and say, "Jesus, please remember me"? And as you reach out to Jesus, he'll give you the gift of eternal life, cleanse you from your sins, and he'll make you friends with God. If that's you today, can I pray for you? I've got my eyes open. I'm looking over the congregation. If that's you today, just give me a wave of your hand. I'd love to pray for you today. If you're saying, just stay where you're seated, but just give me a little wave and I'll pray salvation for you today in Jesus' name. But you've got to put it right up in the air so that I can see it. This is your moment, and people at home as well. Obviously, I can't see hands at home, but you can send us a comment in. God bless you, darling. Anybody else? Yeah, let us know at home. Send us a message. We want to know what's going on. Anybody else? Also want to just pray for backsliders too, just right now. Sometimes your heart can get really cold. Your heart can become hard. This day, today, Good Friday, is a good day to make a recommitment to the Lord. And I don't know, I just don't want any backsliders going out of here without having made a recommitment. Could I pray for you as well? Just give me a wave of your hand if that's you, and I'll pray for you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Then, Father, we just thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you that you're here. And, Lord, we just love you. And we just pray for those amongst us, Lord, who have just responded to you. Pray, forgive them of their sins. Just cleanse them. Wash them clean from all their wickedness. And give them that gift of eternal life today. For any backsliders, we just pray for them to be right with you again today, that you'll heal their backsliding in Jesus' name. And for the rest of us, Lord, we're so glad that we have Good Friday, and we're so glad that Jesus died on the cross for all of us. And we say, to God be the glory. Amen.